Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have David Ubben from The Athletic coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and another big weekend of college football coming up this weekend as well. That coming up at 9 o'clock. Right now, talking Titans and Colts, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So, Joe, obviously a big matchup for the Titans on Sunday against the Colts. Titans at 3-2, Colts at 3-2-1. If you win this game, you're 4-2. The Colts would be 3-3-1, basically a 2.5 game lead for the Titans at that point when you factor in the tiebreakers as well. So, if you win this one, you're sitting in pretty good shape if you're the Titans as it relates to the AFC South. Now, the Titans' schedule does get tougher as they move ahead here. Although, to that point, Joe, you know, we looked at the AFC this year and we thought to ourselves, well, could this be the greatest conference of all time? You know, the AFC West was supposed to be some juggernaut, and now all of a sudden you look around and the Chiefs are 4-2. I think they're pretty good. The Chargers are 4-2, and I'm still not convinced of how good they are, but they have won 3 games in a row. The Broncos are awful, and the Raiders are 1-4. So that division obviously is not living up to the hype that people thought it would. Now, one division that I think's caught people by surprise a little bit. Buffalo's at 5-1. The Jets at 4-2. The Dolphins at 3-3, hopefully with Tua coming back soon. So they've lost 3 in a row. If Tua comes back, we'll see what that looks like. And now Bailey Zappi, the Bailey Zappi Show with the Patriots.
The new Tom Brady.
At 3-3. So the AFC East right now is actually the best division in the AFC if you go strictly by the numbers. But I say all that to say, honestly, right now, to me, Joe, it feels like the Bills and I guess the Chiefs and pretty much everybody else kind of in the same boat there in the AFC. And I didn't really expect that. Now, like the Bengals, I think we saw on Sunday, that connection from Burrow to Chase, it's going to get a few more people this year. He was awesome on Sunday. I keep waiting for the Ravens to take off, and they've not really done so yet. The AFC is kind of wide open right now outside of Buffalo. And I guess Kansas City. I mean, those would be the two best teams in my opinion.
If you look at it, yeah, I agree. I think it's Bills, Chiefs. I think you might go Bills, little gap, Chiefs, then another gap, everybody else. I mean, the Bills, it was a good game the other day, but I've thought the Bills are better. I still think the Bills are better. But if you go look at the AFC in terms of like in the building and fan base, who's happy about the season right now? I'd say Bills fans should be. I get, you know, some may be like me and be like, no, you should have gone undefeated this year. But, you know, they should be. And Jets fans should be.
Yeah.
And
I mean, honestly, Patriots fans, because of Mac Jones getting hurt, like if you'd have told them that they did this with Bailey Zappi, probably in a good spot.
They probably have no idea what to think.
They probably don't.
But, yeah, they look like they have an actual NFL offense all of a sudden, and they've won some games. So, yeah, that's true. They're feeling better. But go all over that. It's like Ravens fans. I'm like, what is going on? You blew that game. You're 3-3. Bengals fans didn't think they'd be 3-3 right now. Like you said, the Chargers are 4-2. But if you're a Chargers fan, you're not happy with how that team's playing. They don't look good.
Well, you're not freaked out by your coach, too? Like, he keeps going for 2 all time. You're just like, what are you doing, man? What's going on out there?
It's just,
why are you making this so hard?
It's too much with him, man. It's too much. And obviously, Colts fans are ready to fire everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So you wonder what – I mean, they can't still be heavy, but at least there's an upward trend with that team. And, of course, a lot of emotion. You know, a lot of emotional stakes here Sunday. Like, it's not the Titans and Titans fans for, like, years of just – you have no, you're just going to lose to the Colts. But, oh, man, if you lose another one in a row to the Titans, starts getting – it's not just Jim Irsay, smashing guitars. I mean, people got to be about sick of this.
Well, the thing is, with this game, with the Colts winning the last 2 games, because the conversation that we talked about after the Titans beat the Colts the first time was, you looked at the schedule and you looked at the way that they were playing at the time. They lost to the Titans. They looked awful on offense, and they had to go to Denver that weekend or that week on Thursday Night Football and then turn around and play a Jacksonville team, which at the time was playing pretty good football, and it just smoked them a few weeks earlier. And you thought, man, could the Colts be, 1-4-1 by the time they walk into Nissan Stadium taking on the Titans, and the Titans could deliver the death blow to them at that point? Well, that's not the case now. I mean, they're 3-2-1. even if the Titans win this game, the division race is not over at that point. I mean, it's going to be a race, I think, between the Titans and the Colts coming down the stretch here. But having said that, you win this game, you get to 4-2, you've got the Texans coming up, you got a chance to get to 5-2. Like, you could set yourself up in a pretty good spot if you're the Titans with a 2.5 game lead, with a schedule that, yes, while is tough, there are still some games on the schedule as you look ahead here for the Titans that at the present moment don't seem quite as tough as they did before the season. Now, that can change very quickly, and when you have some of the quarterbacks that these teams have moving forward here, that can change. But like you said, I mean, the Bengals are 3-3. They're not a perfect football team by any stretch of the imagination. I said it earlier, the Packers are not good, and that could change by the time that they play them on the road. But right now, the Packers are not a good football team. So maybe the schedule is not quite as daunting. Like, honestly, and I heard you guys talking about this yesterday on Jared versus Joe, right now, you know, we thought heading into the year, the Titans got the raw end of the deal getting the Packers instead of the Vikings. Looks like that may be the other way around right now with the Vikings and playing the way that they are, and they're taking on the Colts. So I say all that to say this game is really important, but I look at the Titans, and we're underwhelmed by a lot of what they've done so far. But outside of Buffalo and the Chiefs, who's not really underwhelmed in the AFC right now? You know, the Jets, obviously, at 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say like the Jags, you know, still, you know, have had more good football than you would have hoped. By the way, real quick, Steelers, you know, they beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
So to get to 2-4. So Michelle, is that good? Because if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm almost like, let's
just be as bad as possible.
Yeah, but then again, they have their QB. They think, I don't know, that, but you can't be happy if you're a Steelers fan either, right?
I mean,
you're happy about the win, but the season,
Yeah.
Don't think it's going to go too well.
And real quick, by the way, as we're talking about all these divisions and everything, can we just all acknowledge that the NFC East is absolutely, by the numbers, the best?
Yeah.
That's like the Pac-12, like, getting three teams in the playoff or something. Like, what? The freaking NFC East? It's kind of a wild season.
I mean, the Cowboys are 4-2, and, you know, in years past, that may have been enough to already clinch the division by now.
Exactly.
And they're in third place in the NFC East.
A combined 11-1 for the Eagles and Giants. What is this, 1988?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Randall Cunningham against LT. Jeez.
Well, it's a weird year in the AFC. Now, you know, there are a lot of teams right now at either 3-2 like the Titans are, or at 3-3 like the Ravens, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Patriots. All at 3-3 right now. I still feel like at some point, like the Ravens, I feel like are going to go on a streak here. They just haven't yet. And look, their defense is not the Baltimore Ravens traditional defense that you think of. But with the way that Lamar's playing, like, I can't help but feel like at some point they're going to go on a run here. They just haven't yet.
Yeah, no, I agree. I still think that they can be really good. I mean, you look at the, yeah, like, I still think the Bengals also have the elements, starting with the QB and the guy he's throwing to still be really good. Ravens, too. I don't know what to think about the Chargers, but
well,
I mean, they've got a heck of a roster. They're 4-2. They just don't look good.
Well, think about the conversation at the beginning of the year, you know, the first couple of weeks. The Titans just lost to the Bills. They're 0-2. You looked around at the AFC South. The Colts hadn't won a game yet. Jags were in first place at 1-1 in the AFC South, and you know the talk was, well, if you're the Titans and you're going to make the playoffs, you're going to have to win the division. I mean, that's the clearest path if you're the Titans, but they may not have to. Like, they could get a wild card based on what the rest of the AFC is looking right now.
At this point, yeah, it's a mess. I think when you compare, when you look at these teams, what's the upside? I still think it's pretty high with the Chargers. With the Ravens,
agreed.
With the Bengals. I don't know what the heck to think of the Jets. You just watched, like, got an eye for
they
the
got
Jets.
A,
do you think they're legit?
They have a legit defense.
They got
their offense.
Quinnen Williams is a dude.
Quinnen Williams is a dude, and Sauce Gardner is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is a shutdown corner immediately, which is nice to get out of your first round pick at cornerback.
Isn't that
funny
nice?
How that works. But they got a legit defense. I still think they're very limited offensively. Breece Hall is a good player. You know, Garrett Wilson's a good player. Zach Wilson's played well, but they're a defensive team.
That little, like, scissors trap play they ran where Breece Hall scored, that was a pretty cool play.
Yeah, it's great.
You like that?
Yeah, it was real nice. Great defense on that play, too.
But when you look at – so the upside of these teams, like some of them you can see where it could be. Like I still don't know that I buy the Patriots. You know,
even they have a good D. Even Miami. I mean, right now they're 3-3, and going by the standings, they'd be number 9 in the AFC right now, just based on tiebreakers and stuff.
But look how they played.
But look how they played with Tua in there.
Yeah, yeah. But with the – so with the Titans and Colts – and that's where I still feel like it's going to come down to that. I still feel like it's like you better win this division. I just don't know. I just don't feel like the ceilings are as high for them as some of these other teams. Now, as you pointed out, I know we have to go to break soon, but it's interesting how it only takes a few games for schedules to look different. You mentioned the Eagles thing. Well, the Colts, their second-place schedule also includes going to the Patriots.
Yep.
Also includes going to the Cowboys at the Vikings. Includes a game out of, you know, going to the season. Put that down as a W, going to the New York Football Giants.
Yep.
Like, oh, actually, yeah, they've got some games that look tougher than they did. And, of course, they also have the Eagles come into their place.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More on that coming up next. Make sure you catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 1025-1063 The Game on Monday at 6 o'clock, live from 6th and Peabody. The Eddie George Show brought to you by Low T Centers and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options mean more savings for you. Get your free quote at XanderInsurance.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Join me this Saturday at Party Foul in Cool Springs for the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. We got Ole Miss, LSU, and Betting Hero is going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile, and they might even buy you a beer. The fun all starts at 2:30 Saturday. See you all there.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Colts, and taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we have a... breaking news. We've heard from our friend Indy Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is really loud, or really long, but I'm going to read it anyway.
My goodness, Indy Ben. You know, you can go ahead and, like, here and there, just send us a couple sentences. Now, you don't have to, like, send us a book once a month.
Indy Ben says, outside of Joe, I'm still hearing a lot of homerism when talking about the Colts and Titans locally in the media. While I will agree that the Titans have had the edge in coaching, their offense is very far from formidable, especially in the passing game. I said this before the season, and I'll say it again. Pierce will end up being better than Burks earlier in their careers. If the offensive line continues to progress and Wright can continue to adjust the passing game the way he did against Jacksonville, they got a great shot at winning. While Irsay has been focused on defeating the Titans, from what I've seen, most Colts fans aren't too concerned about them and instead realize that Impley simply needs to play to their capability, very similar to how a lot of local Nashville media feel about the Titans when talking about the Colts in the division. While I'm not confident in how the Colts have looked this season, mostly due to coaching, I also haven't been all that impressed by the Titans, and both teams seem to be right on par with each other at this point. This is from Indy Ben, which my favorite part of that short novel that Indy Ben texted in was, outside of Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
Indy
good
Joe.
Start.
Indy
start.
Joe in there. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, nice to hear from you again. I haven't heard from you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of homerism. You're right. Especially right around 2 p.m. On this station.
Yeah.
Really, with Jared, though, it's more like hate. Like, the Colts are garbage. And, you know, I guess Zach Kiefer blocked him, which is awesome. We're going to have Zach Kiefer on the show tomorrow, by the way.
Maybe we'll ask him.
We can talk about blocking Jared. But I do agree. Like, the idea of, I mean, look, I don't think the Colts are great. We are seeing some things that are getting better. I think Pierce is one of those things. He looks like he might be okay. They're not great, but I do agree that these teams are very close right now. I don't think there's some huge gap. Maybe Bud Dupree coming back, Hooker coming back, Burks at some point, you know, makes that gap big again. But I also still wonder who's playing left tackle the rest of this season.
Yeah, I think those are all fair points. Now, having said that, I fully expect Titans to win this game on Sunday. You're at home. I do think there's a mental edge that you've got over the Colts right now. I think your defensive line is going to be a problem for that offensive line, particularly if Bud Dupree's healthy. Like, I think the Titans should win this game coming up on Sunday. Is it going to shock me if they don't? No, but I think the Titans are better than the Colts. I've been consistent with that all offseason, and I'm going to stick with it now, and I think that they should win coming up on Sunday. Rob from Clarksville on the text line says, very good. Text through it, Ben. Just text through it. Indy Ben is a very popular texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Does Indy Ben think you're a homer?
I mean,
Let us know, Indy Ben, but just in like a sentence or two.
Maybe.
No, like, I agree that they're better. I mean, I agree too. I think the Titans are better. I think the gap is not big right now.
Well, it's hard to say the Titans have a big gap on anybody when you go by the numbers. I mean, they're technically the 28th ranked defense and like the 31st ranked offense. It's not great.
Is that bad?
Actually, 30th ranked offense. Don't want to give them too much crap.
Yeah, come on. They're just 30. Yeah. It's 278 yards a game, 31st. Where are the Titans good? They're good in punt return average. They're ninth.
They're good. They're good in red zone offense.
They are number one, 92.31% red zone percentage. Yeah, which is
they're great in third down defense.
And Vrabel, has talked about that this week. Yeah, I'd love to know. How many times? So third down defense is number two in the league, 27.12% allowed. Number two in the league. Passing yards per play and per game, last in the league.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. How could you be last in passing D and first in third down percentage D, or second?
That's the craziest stat I've ever heard. I guess you're just giving up some absolute shots on first and second down.
Right. You're just giving up chunk plays left and right. But once you get to third down, you're getting the stop. And then, of course, by the way, fourth down defense, they're last.
They're terrible. Yeah.
They're giving up 78%. So even when they get those third down stops, they have often given up the fourth down. Wild. Again, you have to take all this stuff with a grain of salt. I don't think they're that bad. Like 30, passing yards per play, 7.94.
Yeah.
That's big. And, the thing is, even without this pass rush having a lot of its pieces, sacks per pass attempt, 7.81% on that, which is 13th in the league. Like, that's a good number.
Yeah.
It's a good number. And so, add Dupree, I would have to think that the ridiculous passing D numbers would go down. Well, the rush D numbers have gone down.
Well, and John Matt from Brentwood points this out on the text line, says, the Titans also played Indy with four legitimate starters out on defense the last time they played.
Yes.
And still won. And we talked about this earlier. True. You've got Hooker that's cleared concussion protocol, and Bud Dupree was a full participant yesterday in practice. I mean, if those two guys can play in this game, and not just play, can stay through the game and play in the game the whole time against Indianapolis, what does that mean for their defense? Also, right now, Jonathan Taylor's status is up in the air for this game coming up on Sunday, and I think it's clear that regardless of if he plays or not, he's not going to be at 100% heading into this game. I mean, what does that mean for not only his production, but for the game plan for the Colts too? I mean, there's a lot of really intriguing parts about this matchup beyond just the obvious of it's a big AFC South game. Like, there's a lot of things that could be different about this matchup than just 3 weeks ago.
Well, game plan wise, I think Frank Reich is on the same page with you. Let's have Matt Ryan throw it 65 times. I mean, and Jonathan Taylor's a good decoy.
Worked on.
It did. It
worked on Sunday.
Yeah, it did.
Not the decoy part, but throwing it around 58 times.
Well, I mean, Jackson ran it well, at times in that game. But obviously, that's the thing. I think one of the most impressive things, other than getting those huge turnovers, I mean, that won the game for the Titans with their offense disappeared, but just the overall play against Jonathan Taylor was very impressive. And without Zach Cunningham, and I think it'll be probably without Zach Cunningham again, I guess we'll see today. I'm a bit surprised that he's just not on there and hasn't just gone on IR if it's been this long. But they were very good in that way. I do think that the Colts have found some more things passing the ball since then.
Well, I think so too. And Can they stop Derrick Henry? I mean, that's the thing. Like, Derrick Henry was awesome in the first half against the Colts in that last game, and now you're back at home. You know, he's played really well, I think, in this three-game winning streak for the Titans. Can that continue, and can he, you know, do the Colts have any success in stopping him to start this game? If you let him get going, he's been really good the last 3 weeks, so I'm interested to see if they can do that. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Can I just read this real fast?
Sure.
Andy Benn has retorted.
Uh-oh.
Ballard has done a better job with Indy's roster over Robinson with his obvious draft blunders. Ballard hasn't missed to the extent Robinson has. Where the Titans are better is coaching. And yes, Robbie, you are a Titans homer.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Andy Benn. Andy Benn choosing violence this week.
Titans homer.
Now, Andy Benn, whatever happens Sunday, I know if the Colts win, I know we'll hear from you. Whatever happens Sunday, you need to come on here and talk it out. Whatever happens next week.
I agree.
Okay? Next week, Andy Benn, you promise.
Because let me tell you, the Titans are the team that have me throwing stuff at the wall on Sundays. Let me tell you. You nailed it. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, I believe we have a major medical breakthrough, guys. It's called acoustic wave therapy. It's not a pill. And a guy with erectile dysfunction is pretty sick of that pill. This technology uses pressure waves. They don't hurt. The pressure waves repair and even widen blood vessels. So more blood flow where you want it, when you want it, that is a great thing. And we've helped a lot of guys get rid of the ED without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, it's pretty cool. 60 clinical studies. You can find them at hillsidemedicalclinic.com. I think this is heavily vetted. The scientific community has spoken. Even Cambridge has studied our technology.
And Andrew, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We certainly do, guys. Don't put this off any longer. ED doesn't go away. Give us a call now. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound will be free. This gift, men really like it. It's a booster in the bedroom. Almost instant results, all no charge.
You heard, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5-106.3 The Game, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. We'll get into the Vols as well, coming up here in just a few minutes. Andy Benn's take on the text line, not very popular with the Titans fans. Matt from Camden said, take a walk, Andy Benn. That's an awful take. You know, Andy Benn did talk about Indy's roster over the Titans and Ballard not missing to the extent that Robinson has. Well, what about, you know, quarterback? How's that looked lately?
Yeah, that's the thing. If you want to compare those two, obviously some recent misses from Robinson that are costing the Titans, there's no doubt.
Yes.
And the A.J. Brown thing, I haven't changed one bit on that move. But John Robinson did find Ryan Tannehill to be a multi-year solution that has been better than any of Ballard's choices. I mean, the Titans have had the quarterback edge during this winning streak. It's not a coincidence that they have this winning streak, and they've had the better quarterback. That's kind of a big deal when you're a GM.
I would say so. So, you know, we can go round and round on Chris Ballard all day and the job that he's done. But, look, the fact of the matter is, I mean, has Indy's roster really been all that great? Like, I know everybody right now is all over Frank Wright and the coaching. And, look, there's been times where it's been bad. But, I mean, I think it was Nyheim Hines, actually, at the first Titans game. Those comments were pretty telling of, well, yeah, we got a new quarterback every year, and we can't ever get things figured out until, like, week six of the season. Like, that's a problem if you're the Colts. And, like, at some point, the Band-Aid quarterback situation is going to have to get fixed. And look, you know, Matt Ryan may go on to play a whole lot better than he's played thus far, and, you know, maybe he's your guy for the next few years. I don't know. But, like, right now, based on the way that things have gone so far this season, if you're a Colts fan, do you feel great about Matt Ryan being the answer at quarterback?
It looks like another quick Band-Aid and then on to something else. That's how I would read it right now. He's done some good things, but no, I would not feel like, oh, this is the guy moving forward. And, you know, Ballard also has kind of struggled with secondary some and receiver. Now, granted, this Pierce pick is looking better.
It looks good. I mean, he's to Indy Ben's original point. He has looked better than Treylon Burks has. Now, Treylon Burks not on the field right now, but he's looked better than Treylon Burks has so far this season. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he looks like he's really coming on right now. Yeah. I mean, the game he had against Denver was good.
Yeah.
Really good game from him. So, and obviously a big touchdown catch last week as well. So, I mean, are there things you can point to on the Colts roster that you feel good about? How about another GM move? Letting Denico Autry get away from you and end up with the Titans. How's that working out for the Colts right now?
That's a direct W for Robinson over Ballard, basically, you know. So it's close. And in all of these things, I think you can argue both sides.
Sure.
Now, where's Todd from Jacksonville when you need him?
They're riding high down there in Jacksonville for a couple weeks, and now they're back down to earth a little bit. We'll get back into the Titans and the Colts coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Joe, I saw a piece yesterday from one of all Twitter's favorites, Pat Forty, friend of the show here on this program. And, you know, in all seriousness, you know, we talked about Forty and Wolken the other day and some of the comments they had in the Alabama game where it's just like, come on, man, just let it go. He did come out with a pretty good piece on Josh Heupel for SI.com. And basically, it's talking about the second-year litmus test was the term that he used in terms of kind of evaluating these coaches. And a lot of times when you talk about some of the top coaches in college football, their second year at a program is where things really start to take off. Now, there are examples that you can find where that's not the case. Like, you know, everybody looks at Clemson and what it's turned into. It took Dabo Sweeney some time to get Clemson to where it's been over the last 5-6 years. So it's not just like this blanket statement, but you know, Nick Saban's second year at Alabama is brought up in this. Kirby Smart's second year at Georgia. Urban Meyer's second year at Florida. Bob Stoops' second year at Oklahoma, you know, winning the national championship.
With Josh Heupel at quarterback.
I mean, he even goes on to talk about Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, and it's different from those kind of blue bloods that we just talked about there that Forty brings up. But, I mean, a lot of times the second year is a year where coaches really start to take off. And he makes sure to point out it's not always an indicator of things to come either. Like Mel Tucker, as you're well aware, in Michigan State, his second year, they're 11-2 and not been great for Michigan State in year three. So it doesn't always, you know, lead to consistent success. But it is kind of amazing when you look back through recent college football history how many different coaches, including Nick Saban, in their second year, things really start to take off for them. And look, there's still – half a season left for Tennessee and Josh Heupel, so I don't know what the record's going to look like. But right now, it's hard to, when you're being realistic about it, think about anything less really than 10-2 or 11-1, maybe 12-0 for Josh Heupel in his second year. So what do you make of kind of this second-year litmus test that Pat Forty has pointed out here and what this could mean for Josh Heupel?
Yeah, and the year two thing, that's been out there. You know, I mean, Saban and some of these guys listed here, and of course, Kirby. Is another recent one who fits the bill. But that's been one of those things that people have talked about before. And, yeah, I mean, it looks like Heupel may end up being a really good example there. You got to sustain it after this. Like, I don't know if Mel Tucker will at Michigan State. You know, obviously it's a rough third year. We'll see with him. They're recruiting well, but, you know, who knows? And there are certainly I think Harbaugh, I want to say – Harbaugh, it's kind of the same thing at Michigan. Second year, almost got to the playoff, lost that great game to Ohio State. They were okay his first year. You know, so there's another one that comes to mind that year two usually says a lot. It's weird because you think of football so many times, like, well, you got to wait to get your own players. Year four, year five, that's when you really judge a coach. But for whatever reason, it seems like like a year for everything to sort of take place in what you're trying to do in a program, a year in the weight room and all that stuff from everybody, and then some level of new players. And that's another thing about now versus then, is now you can actually change your roster a lot more than you could. Like when Saban was in year two, it's like basically who you inherited and then your freshmen, right? Or you know, your sophomores from the first class you had to quickly put together. Now it's like, I mean, Mel Tucker's second year at Michigan State is about the portal.
Yeah.
He got Kenneth Walker. He was a great player. Boom. That's like three extra wins because you found one guy in the portal. Heupel, it's not like they've been like, it's not like the portal's been crazy beneficial to them. But then again, the other day, not granted, Hooker was already there when he got there, but Brew McCoy, Chase McGrath, there's two guys involved in the winning play. And so it's interesting. It's hard. It's like when you think of it that way, it's hard to even kind of compare the eras a little bit. You know, you can change things a lot more now. And the thing was with Heupel was, remember last season, like a lot of Tennessee fans were mad. They're like, he's not doing enough in the portal, you know?
Yeah.
And I think basically they were just being selective. Like you got to get top players because he did inherit some talent. I think that's one thing with Tucker and with all these coaches that have success in year two, there has to be some existing talent you inherited that maybe you made them better, you found something or whatever, but you can't take over a total disaster and be good in year two.
Well, think about who made big plays for Tennessee on Saturday. Hendon Hooker, he was here when Heupel got here. Jalin Hyatt was here when Heupel got here. I mean, it's those two guys, the difference they made in the game on Saturday, you know, Heupel didn't recruit either one of them. Now, they've obviously gotten more out of Jalin Hyatt than we've seen, and Jalin coaching Hyatt and development matter a lot. So I'm not trying to take credit away from Heupel there. I'm just saying you got to have some pieces there too.
Right, like Jalin Hyatt right now looked like he's driving a Ferrari in this offense, and he was on a tricycle with Pruitt's offense.
Like Kirby Smart is the perfect example. He has taken Georgia to a different level, obviously. But think about what Kirby Smart inherited in Georgia.
A very
like,
strong
it wasn't
program.
Like Mark Richt was doing a terrible job there.
And the thing is with him is he had actually a really disappointing first season. People were like, oh, what's up with this guy? Lost at home to Derek Mason and Vanderbilt.
Hail Mary.
That was a toughie. But year two, they take off. Yeah. And the thing is, I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you flip it around on the other side of the ball. Same thing. I mean, a lot of the guys that made plays that were key in that game were here on the roster. I think they've done a good job with some of those guys. But also, you look at the secondary and see, that's where Heupel needs to start upgrading this.
Yeah.
Right? They need to get better in the secondary. Like, they got some good veterans, and I think they can be okay. You know, Flowers and McCullough at safety. Like, they're good, solid veterans. They're experienced. They make plays. But that whole group needs to be – that's one of the things moving forward to this program to be better is they need NFL corners, NFL safeties.
I thought Saturday was a pretty good example, like Flowers in particular. You know, he makes plays out there. He's a smart guy, but athletically he just got torched a few times.
Now, granted, I'll put a bunch of NFL guys out there one-on-one with Gibbs with that much
may
space,
not end well.
And they might look silly too, but yes. Now, boy, there was one late play, speaking of Flowers, and Bryce Young – I mean, Flowers could not have had better coverage on this play. It was on the field goal missed drive. It was, like, perfect. He's in position, and he had, like, 13 tackles. But, yes, here and there, you're like, yeah, not quite measuring up to the top guys.
Real quickly, what did you think of what Mike Wilson said yesterday in terms of, you know, we asked him the question how Josh Heupel has done this quickly, and he mentioned just the offense being an equalizer. Not necessarily even the personnel, but the offense – itself. How much of that goes into this second year success? Beyond, we've talked about Hendon Hooker, the quarterback, the weapons they have, but just the style offensively. How much of that factors into this, do you think?
Well, a lot. Remember what were a lot of people saying going into this year? See, now these coordinators have seen this thing. Now let's see if they, you know, keep doing it. Yeah. This offense is if you're a football nerd, this is fascinating stuff right now, what's happening. Because, I mean, a lot of this stuff has been around. So you have to, first of all, you got to look at Hooker and the guys making plays, and you have to give them a bunch of the credit. But I also think that there's never been an offense exactly like this, bringing, like, air raid stuff, then Heupel-Briles stuff, Lebby stuff, with now Golish stuff. I just said stuff a lot, but it's like this combination that's really fascinating. All I know is, I mean, Alabama's lucky they only gave up 52 to them the other day.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Preds taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for tonight's game, you win a pair of tickets to a future Predators home game. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, but let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Tip off the Grizzly season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $150 in free bets, guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just use promo code ROB at sign up. Plus, all customers get 3 months of NBA League Pass when they make a $5 bet on the NBA, courtesy of FanDuel. Then you can watch all the action as you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to totals. I told you about John Morant taking the over on him with points. Looked pretty good last night. I think it's going to be the case most of the season this year. So make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Memphis Grizzlies. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New customers, first online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Existing customers, $5 NBA wager required. Limit one pass per customer across both offers. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See full terms on both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. NBA League Pass. Local blackout restrictions apply. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Joe, the standings heating up in Preds Pick to Click early in the season. The listeners, Michelle and myself, all tied for first place with one correct answer. The Lone Ranger now in last place with zero correct answers. Joe Rex Road in the competition. Joe, your response.
Well, I suck at everything. What else can I say?
With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Caleb. Caleb, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I mean, Joe, evidently you suck at everything except being a homer.
So, oh, yes. I mean, there we go.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to take Philip Forsberg tonight. Looks like they're trying to feed him the puck, so. Give me Forsberg.
There we go. Caleb, appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, guys.
Philip Forsberg, generally a safe bet here on the program. Gets a goal the other night. Gets me on the board in the competition the other night, so appreciate that. Joe Rex Road, you're up next today in the competition. Preds taking on the Blue Jackets tonight on the road. Forsberg off the board. Joe, you're a pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I think if you get the high pick, you got to go to the safer bet. So I'll go Duchesne.
Forsberg and Duchesne.
There you go.
In each part. So I think in each competition thus far have been the top two picks, I think. They need to go back and check the tape on that. Forsberg and Duchesne are off the board. Michelle Knezovic, you are up next.
I think I'm going to go with the young guy today, Eli Tolvanen. I'm picking Eli Tolvanen to score a goal tonight. I think it's time.
Eli Tolvanen, the selection by Michelle Knezovic. I'm taking a guy that has gotten off to a little bit of a slow start offensively this year, that history and his entire career tell me will turn around and turn around very quickly. The captain, Roman Josi, scores a goal tonight for the Nashville Predators. He's got 1 point in the first five games. Not even a goal, just a point in the first five games. I think eventually a breakout Roman Josi offensive performance is coming, probably sooner rather than later. And I'm taking it tonight against Columbus. So give me Josi as my pick to click.
Yeah, there's probably a 3-point night coming pretty soon here for him, including a goal.
Well, I think they're trying to figure some stuff out with him. I mean, they've already switched up his D partner. Interested to see what that looks like tonight. They had Carrier on the third pair last game. Moved Fabbro up. You know, did you like it? Do you go back to Carrier? Do you stick with Fabbro for a couple of games up there? I mean, they're playing, you know, kind of defenseman roulette right now. And you know, Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports just put this out there, and it's from at Ineffective Math on Twitter. It's not been a great start for the Ekholm McDonough pairing either. I would leave that together and just let it be for a while. I don't worry about stuff like that until, you know, 20-25 games in, when you start to get a little bit of a better sample size. I mean, those two guys are really good defensively individually. I think they'll be really good defensively together as they move forward. But the slow start for Yossi offensively, it's a little weird. I think the power play has something to do with that, but he's too good to be kept off the score sheet for too long, I think.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the power play was a big part of, well, of Yossi, Duchesne, and Forsberg.
Yeah.
And their success last year. And so you get that going, and all of them are going to benefit.
Viking Matt on the text line says, come on, Joe, just pick Nino every game. He's got four so far. He did put one off the post the other night, too.
But when I picked him, he didn't score.
That is correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a bad pick. I mean, it's actually a little bit surprising at this point. We go through one of these, and there's no Nino. But
I tried
Tolvanen, yeah. And now Michelle has tried Tolvanen over Nino.
I mean, look, there's options this year. You could go. I mean, nobody picks Janot. He scored the other night. You've got Ryan Johansson available to you as well. Many options in Preds Pick to Click this year.
Like when I was winning this thing back in the glory days, you know, I'd just throw out a Sissons and get it, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the key to winning this thing.
On the rare occasion that you went away from Cali Yarncroke, yes, you throw out Sissons.
That's true. I mean, Yarncroke just absolutely dominated
just
for me.
Just eating it for you.
Boy, Cali.
Yeah.
That's right. He needs to come back.
Trading. Get Toronto on the phone. He's with the Leafs now. I haven't looked to see how he's doing so far. But
Nor have I. Hopefully he's doing well, though. Thank you for all your service, Cali.
This has been Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by TJ Anderson, homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports as well. I said it earlier, Joe, it's a big-time response game from the Predators tonight. We had Dan Hynode on earlier, and you know he talked about just being a little off right now. I mean, I agree. I think they're more than a little off right now. I think the power play, if you look at the numbers, really before last game especially, they were actually doing a pretty good job of creating chances on the power play. Just wasn't going in for them. I do think there's a little bit of, maybe making one or two extra passes when you should just take the shot that's happening out there. And that happens when you're pressing to score on the power play. I'm interested to see how they respond tonight. I think the effort will be there. You know, we've talked about this before, Joe. I think lack of effort gets way overblown a lot in the world of sports.
Quitting.
Yeah, like I think the effort will be there tonight. Tonight, to me, is about execution. You've been sloppy in pretty much any area you want to talk about so far, if you're the Predators, at least inconsistent in a lot of those areas. It's time to start to get the execution up a little bit, and I'm talking power play, 5-on-5 zone time offensively. Really, defensive zone coverage is where I think the execution has been probably the most inconsistent thus far, and, I'm not saying that Columbus is a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but if Johnny Gaudreau gets loose on you out there a couple times a night, you're probably not going to like the result at the end of the night. So on the road, you don't have last change. Communication, execution going to be very important tonight.
Yeah, and John Hines used the word smarts, just general smarts, to try to not hurt yourself. Allow yourself to get some things going with your 5-on-5. Allow yourself to not be in the box all night and just make those little mistakes they had that game. They should have won that game with all the factors in their favor, up two goals on a team with a backup goalie and a back-to-back, and that's a lost point. So you got to try to get two tonight.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Ubben from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols. Look ahead to a big weekend in college football as well. That's coming up next. Speaking of college football, tune into the college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game this Saturday as Ole Miss takes on LSU at 2:30. College football game of the week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.